As you know, we've been studying connections on Sunday night. Throughout the month of January, we talked about how to strengthen the connections with our church family. In February, we talked about strengthening the connections with our youth in the church family. Tonight, I'd like for us to go into the subject of strengthening our connections with our senior saints. This will be part one. Lord willing, we'll have a part two and probably a part three. But tonight, I want us to talk a little bit about the old people. Now, that may not seem like the... Calm down now. Hear me out. That might not seem like the best way to describe what more and more of us are beginning to realize we are a part of that group. In fact, the funny stories and one-liners and all of that about elderly people and getting old, there's just no end to them. And I had to be real careful not to get too caught up in that because there's so much that I felt like I really ought to share with you. For example, you know that you're getting older when the only thing you want for your birthday is not to be reminded of it. I can relate. The doctor asked one senior saint what he did for exercise, and he says, I think pushing 90 is exercise enough. And then this is one of my favorites. There are four advantages to getting old and forgetful. Number one, you meet new friends every single day. Number two, every joke you hear is a brand new one and hilariously funny. Number three, you can hide your own Easter eggs. And then number four, I've forgotten what number four is. It is understandable that some folks would be a little bit sensitive about things like this. And I fully respect that. It's not going to change much of what I say. one elderly lady was being interviewed, and the interviewer said, I see that your birthday is April 12th. What year? She said, every year. I think maybe one of the problems we may have early on is very similar to some of the problems we had with last month's discussions, and that was put into words by several different people. But when we were talking about the youth in the congregation, everybody wanted to know where the lines were, where you were still a youth and how old you had to be before you could no longer be described as part of the youth. And I guess it's only normal that we would say, well, now, who are you calling old? What does it take to qualify to be one of the senior saints? In fact, this past Wednesday night, after the announcement that I made about this, one of our members sent a grandchild to me at the back and said, basically the question was, do I qualify as one of the senior saints? And I thought about it a minute and I said, absolutely, yes. So let's look at this definition. Who is a senior saint? This may not go the way you think it should, but if you can remember certain things, I think you qualify. If you can remember when soft drinks only came in bottles, yes, young people, there was a time when Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all of those things were only available in bottles. And not just that, but the fact was, in the state of Alabama, and I understand it varies from state to state, you could get some money back if you took those empty bottles back to the store. That reminds me of well, it's funny now. It was not funny at all when I was a kid and when it happened, but a couple of my cousins and I, one year at the Christmas holiday when we all got together, were in town, the little town that I grew up in and around, and we were gathering up empty Coke bottles to take to the curb market on the corner because he would give us, I can't remember, 2 cents maybe for every bottle we turned in. Well, this curb market was right across from the school. And so it dawned on us that there probably are a lot of empty Coke bottles on the school grounds. And we got to looking around over there, you know, nobody there. And we're looking probably in some places we didn't have any business looking. And up under the edge of one of the buildings, we found 2 empty cases full of bottles. And we carried those things to the curb market, and that old boy paid us our 2 cents a bottle, however many. And my dad found out about that, and it would be accurate to say that he made a lasting, taught me a very unforgettable lesson and a lasting impression that just because I found it unattended didn't mean I could take possession of it and go turn it in and get the money for it. And I can't remember, honestly, if he paid the school back. Nobody made an issue of it, except for Dad. And but, you know, you could get a deposit back on all of your empty Coke bottles. If you can remember when gas was 26 cents a gallon, then you're probably getting close to being able to qualify as a senior saint. If you could remember when your home phone was on a party line, I certainly can. That was one of the most frustrating things for me because I was a teenager at the time, and in rural Lamar County, where I came from, I'm not sure how many people were on the party line, but everybody knew what that party line was, and you could pick up the phone at any given time, and you might hear somebody talking, and I was taught that you immediately hang up the phone. But after checking 3 or 4 times, you know, you began to try to get creative about how you could get the message to that lady down the road that you wanted to make a phone call and she needed to get off. Maybe you didn't have a party line, or you were not on a party line at your house, but maybe you remember phone booths around every corner. There are still a few of those old relics remaining in places today. I don't think any of them really work anymore, at least the ones out on the side of the road. But in my day, a phone call was a dime. I think maybe some of you could probably remember when they were a nickel. But we won't necessarily have to go there. If you can remember the phone booths and the time when you could make a call from out on the road, not from your cell phone, those hadn't been invented yet, but you could stop at a payphone. You might be a senior saint if it takes longer for you to rest than it took to get tired. You might be a senior saint if you've gotten to the point where you quit trying to hold your stomach in. It doesn't matter who comes in the room. If your knees buckle but your belt doesn't want to, you might be a senior saint. If people call you at 9 o'clock at night and their first immediate question is always, "Hey, did I wake you up?" Or if you've gotten to the point in your life where you enjoy hearing other people talk about their surgery that they've had. Or maybe you've got cable only so you'll have the Weather Channel. You might be a senior saint. Obviously, we're not here tonight to draw lines and set limits. But I think we all know within reason who we're talking about. And while everything thus far has been angled toward a little bit of humor and some unashamed comedy, there are some really serious things to think about when we think about the importance of senior saints. You know, I think we spent a sufficient amount of time talking about the importance of our young people in the church. I think we covered a lot of things that needed to be said and things that needed to be discussed. And I also firmly believe that there are just as many things that we should talk about our elderly church members. And while not a single demographic or group or age group or anything like that, not a single group within the church family is any more important than any of the others, some groups or classifications of people sometimes, it seems, get a little bit less attention. Maybe the word attention isn't what I need to use. Maybe I should say consideration. And we certainly don't want that to be true about our older church members. And so let's look at about three things that I would like to point out tonight. And Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we'll go a little bit further and broaden this a little bit. Now listen, don't be thinking you're going to see your picture up there on the screen. I'm smart enough not to try something like that. Maybe a few years ago I would have, but not now. So these are all unknown people to me, just put there for illustration purposes. Let's think for just a minute about what our senior saints have done. We're talking about this church family. We're talking about our people here. We're talking about the members of our congregation, those who we may refer to as seniors or as elderly or as older folks or any of those terms. Let's think for just a minute about what they have done. Number one, they have led. I have told this story many, many times, and I never get tired of telling it. It was toward the end of the decade of the 90s. The elders of this congregation would have monthly meetings twice a month, just like we do now. And they always invited me. In fact, I was expected to be there as the minister of the congregation. And one night in one of our meetings, I'll never forget, Brother James Glenn looked at me and he said, "What do you think about the idea of moving to a different location?" For a brief instant there, I thought maybe this was about to show me a pink slip. I thought maybe I was the one who was moving to a different location, but I saw really quickly that that wasn't where this was going. He was referring to the church there in Highland Gardens. And I was totally blown away. I was blown away because the two elders at the time, Brother James Glenn, Brother Joe McCullough, were men who were well into their years, and they were not known for making reckless decisions or putting forth ideas that were foolishly out on the edge of everything. And so I began to think, that's really interesting. And I told Brother Glenn that night, I said, that's something that I think... something I think we really ought to think about. That sounds like a good idea. And then my next question was, where would we go? Because if you know anything at all about Montgomery, you know in a manner of speaking, there's a congregation pretty much in every major area. We used to say a church on every corner, but not quite that many. But there were plenty of congregations, and I couldn't think, and I knew quite a bit about the city of Montgomery. I was working in it in my daily job, and I knew where things were and so forth. And so I said, where do you think we could go? And Brother Glenn said, well, Joe and I have talked about it, and we like the idea of the Redland Road area. And I said, you know what? I know a guy who has some property up there, and we might could talk him into selling us some. And one thing led to another. And you know, before long, we'd met with Doug and Kathy, and we'd approached the idea of buying a piece of property here. And the next thing you know, it's a done deal. And we start drawing plans. And Danny Raines gets a hold of those plans and puts all of the official stuff in them and the design and so forth. And Brother McCullough was a contractor. And here we are. And I take it all the way back to that initial thought that was brought out in that meeting long, long ago that night. The vision that those men had as leaders of this congregation, that's what our older members need to be remembered for. Younger members, let me tell you something. You need to be doing things and working yourself into those kind of decisions, those kind of things, so that when you're older, you'll have that good, solid reputation of having made good decisions and been good leaders. Our older folks, our senior saints, have led us. We are where we are what we are in a certain measure because of the older folks that are among us. Not only have they led us, but they have matured, they have been renewed. Now, let me tell you, that sounds like a strange comment. Let me tell you what I'm thinking about there. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Paul says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. I can relate to that. Can you? Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. Now, we always use this verse to talk about how the light, momentary affliction, or this passage to talk about this, the things that we have to go through in this life are making us stronger and all of that. And that's true. That's a good point that comes from this passage. But how is this happening? When is this happening? This is happening as we grow older. And our needs change. Our abilities change. Our frailties change. And yet, Paul says God expects us to grow stronger and stronger on the inside. He says our spiritual man, unlike our physical man, which is wasting away, our spiritual man is being renewed day by day. You know, I haven't done an official or unofficial survey, but I think I can say within reason that a large number, the majority, I would say, of our older members have been Christians for a long, long time. That's not to take anything away from those who have been recently converted, those who spent a long time outside of Christ and in old age came to Christ. That's wonderful. But the fact is there are so many who have through the years progressed and grown and become stronger. And that kind of maturing and renewing helps them to be the kind of leaders that they have proven themselves to be. I'm not just talking about elders. I'm talking about the leadership that we get from our sisters as well as our brothers. They have matured. They've been renewed. They have learned and taught. Let me ask you something. What would your opinion be? And I'm not talking about an opinion that you would put on Facebook or anything like that, but what would your first thought be about someone that you found out had been a Christian for 50 years and yet they didn't know Matthew from Ezekiel when it comes to the Bible? You wouldn't have a real high opinion of their years of serving God if they'd been a Christian for 50 years and were no more familiar with God's book than that. The fact is, those who have matured and been renewed and have led us have through the years learned and preserved the truth. When I say preserved, I mean by their efforts to pass it along to each generation. They have taught us very well. Well, somebody says, that's all fine and good, and we need to recognize what our old people have done. They just need to get on out of the way, though, and let us go forward. Now, I've never heard anybody really say those words. I guess maybe they knew better than to say something like that I could hear. But there are some folks, I'm sure, who have that attitude. You know, it breaks my heart to see older preachers get retired or put out to pasture, as we say sometimes. I think there is an element. Whether we're talking about in the Lord's church, whether we're talking about in the professional field of you name it, there is an element that says, you know, if you're over 50, you're on the way out. Let's take a minute to think about what our senior saints still do and what we're going to be losing if we don't keep them engaged, connected, and involved. They give. I'm not just talking about money, but let's talk about money for a minute. You know, it's part of my job to have at least a little bit of an understanding how our funds come into this congregation. And I can tell you, without a doubt, that some of our most generous folks are some of our older members. Not because they're wealthy, not because they've got it salted away somewhere. In fact, I know for a fact that we've got some elderly members here who still give just like they did when they were earning a paycheck every Friday. That speaks volumes. But not just money. They're giving. They're giving their interest. They're giving their involvement. They're giving their concern. They're giving their help on every occasion. Some of them will run over you in trying to help someone. Not everybody. Not all of our young folks do either. But some of our older folks are some of our greatest givers. Number two, I started to say they watch, and I knew somebody would say, well, yeah, I know, they do a lot of sitting back and watching. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about watching over. You know, there is a lot to be said about the value of those who have the wisdom to quietly observe, because sometimes they see things that need to be intercepted, or they see things that sometimes need to be looked into, that those of us who may be younger and probably in quite a bit more of a hurry with a lot more daily distractions don't ever notice. There's great value in this asset we have. They follow the Lord. Turn your Bible over to Joshua chapter 14. It's a fascinating story there. Joshua chapter 14. It's about Caleb. You remember who Caleb was? Caleb was one of the two faithful spies of those who had been sent in to spy out the land. Back in the book of Numbers, when they came back and gave such an unfavorable report that triggered the rebellion and the discouragement and the frustration resulting in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until everybody in that generation had died except for Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies. Now Joshua is leading God's people, administering the distribution of the land in the land of Canaan as they come back into it and drive out the inhabitants. And Caleb, it's time for Caleb to receive his inheritance of land. And Caleb comes before Joshua, and listen to some things that he says here in this chapter. In verse 7, he said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Though my brothers went up and gave a disfavorable report," he said, "yet I followed fully the Lord my God." And now verse 10, he says, "The Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since that time." And he says, "Behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong," verse 11, "I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." And then down there in verse 13, "Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." He wholly followed the Lord. That means that he had followed the Lord up to the time he was sent in to spy out the land, and for the 45 years after that, in everything, he had continued to follow the Lord fully, wholly, completely. We've got some senior saints around us who are in that same category. Last point, number three, what our senior saints need, and this is something that we'll go into a little bit deeper in some of our future discussions. What do they need from us? Number one, they need our respect. They need our respect. We need to respect what they've been able to accomplish. We need to respect their age. Are you aware of that verse over there in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32? Where God, through Moses, told his people, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." You see, it's very important to recognize the construction of that instruction, because God is saying, basically, I care a lot about you being respectful to the older folks among you. Just as much as I care about you being respectful to me, who am the Lord your God. We need to respect their age, their years. I tell you, we need to respect their frailties. We need to respect so much about them. We need to respect them. They also need to be remembered and imitated. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. When he says leaders there, it includes everybody who has led. It includes elders. It includes the apostles. But it also includes the regular old Christians who have been looked to for leadership. And the same thing's true today. We need to remember those who have led us, and we need to imitate them in the things that they have been able to accomplish and do. They need our appreciation and our encouragement. Look over there to 2 Timothy chapter 5. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Encourage them. Appreciate them. You know what? That appreciation doesn't go very far if you never get around to showing it. If you never get around to saying it. If you never get around to sending that card or making that phone call. Or in some way speaking those words of encouragement. The fact is, old folks, just exactly like young folks, sometimes get blamed for a lot of things that are not really their fault. I came across this little piece that I want to share with you as we close. It is not the senior saints who took the melody out of music, who took the pride out of appearance, who took the courtesy out of driving, who took the commitment out of marriage, the responsibility out of parenthood, the learning out of education, the service out of patriotism, the dedication out of employment, or God out of government or school. It wasn't the senior saints who did that. If you're like me, maybe you spend more and more time bemoaning the fact that there doesn't seem to be much pride in appearance anymore. There doesn't seem to be much courtesy on the road among the drivers. And we probably do blame an inordinate amount of it on some of the younger folks. But as a general rule, I can tell you for sure it's not the senior saints who need to be blamed for those things. They need to get credit for what they do, for what they have done. We need to appreciate them. And so let's strengthen the connections that we have with our senior saints. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.